Genesis 8, we read verses 1 to 19. But God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and the livestock that were with him in the ark. And he sent a wind over the earth, and the waters receded. Now the springs of the deep and the floodgates of the heavens had been closed, and the rain had stopped falling from the sky. The water receded steadily from the earth. The end of the 150 days, the water had gone down. And on the 17th day of the 17th month, the ark came to rest on the mountains of Ararat. The waters continued to recede until the 10th month, and on the first day of the 10th month, the tops of the mountains were visible. After 40 days, Noah opened a window, which he had made in the ark, and sent out a raven, and it kept flying back and forth until the water had dried up from the earth. Then he sent out a dove to see if the water had receded from the surface of the ground. But the dove could find nowhere to perch, because there was water over all the surface of the earth. So it returned to Noah in the ark. He reached out his hand and took the dove and brought it back to himself in the ark. He waited 7 more days and again sent out the dove from the ark. When the dove returned to him in the evening, there in its beak was a freshly plucked olive leaf. Then Noah knew that the water had receded from the earth. He waited 7 more days and sent the dove out again, but this time it did not return to him. By the first day of the first month of Noah's 601st year, the water had dried up from the earth. Noah then removed the covering from the ark and saw that the surface of the ground was dry. By the 27th day of the second month, the earth was completely dry. Then God said to Noah, "Come out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons and their wives. Bring out every kind of living creature that is with you, the birds, the animals, and all the creatures that move along the ground, so they can multiply on the earth and be fruitful and increase in number on it." So Noah came out, together with his sons and his wife and his sons' wives. All the animals of the creatures that move along the ground and all the birds, everything that moves on land, came out of the ark, one kind after another. I think I was still a teenager, and I used to enjoy reading Thomas Hardy novels. And I enjoyed the setting of these novels, the characters, the story. My favourite was Far From the Madding Crowd. Anyone read Far From the Madding Crowd? No? Oh, well. It was my favourite, not just because it was a slightly happier ending than most of Thomas Hardy's books, but, you know, it's a lovely story and I enjoyed it greatly. But the frustration I found was that once the main characters had got married, the book then soon ends. And I guess that's fairly typical of novels in those days. I'm no English literature expert. But you're left asking the question, well, what happened after that? Well, you kind of hope that, but you just don't know, do you, with these sort of books? Well, in the story of Noah, we want to know what happened. You know, we've had this dramatic story of him believed. But what happens after that? Or when Jesus Christ returns, we've been thinking how he taught the second coming would be like in the days of Noah, when this sudden destruction comes. But we'll be rescued. But what happens after that? Or think of when the Christian dies. It's described as falling asleep, the fear taken. In these three words, God remembered Noah, we see the faithfulness, the goodness, the kindness of God. But God remembered Noah. For all the judgment and destruction that had been brought on the world, God was still showing mercy. For all the countless people and animals that had died in the flood, those on the ark were not forgotten. Try and picture them there. You know that everything is this vast sea of water, and you have this one ark these are the only living creatures. Obviously, the sea creatures are still alive. But the only land animals and the only people that are left on the whole surface of the world were there in the ark. But God remembered them. It was because God was faithful to his covenant to keep them alive. Look back at chapter 6 and verse 18. God says to Noah, "But I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark." Noah. We therefore can anticipate that God is going to do something to deliver them. And so God stops the rain from falling. God stops up the springs of the deep that had gushed all this water out. Verse 2, "Now the springs of the deep and the floodgates of heaven." Now Noah's able to open the windows of his ark. Caught in that thunderstorm yesterday, and they made sure, "Are the windows shut?" Well, now Noah's able to open the windows. The rain has stopped. The floodwaters are receding. God remembered Noah. We read in Exodus 2 and verse 24 that the Israelites, they were groaning in their slavery in Egypt, but God remembered his covenant with Abraham. And when God remembers, he acts. And so straight after that, we read of how God calls Moses. She found herself praying out loud in despair, "Lord, you guide all those stars," as she looked up at the night sky. "But you've not forgotten them, but you've forgotten Betsy and me," her sister Betsy. And as they walked to the roll call, her sister Betsy said, "No, God has not forgotten us. I know that from the Bible. It says, 'I am with you always.'" And Betsy told her sister, "It's not what we feel that counts, but what we believe." And years later, Corrie ten Boom wrote, "I slowly learned not to trust in my feelings, but in him. The promises from the Bible kept us sane." She felt like God had forgotten them, but God had not forgotten them. Do you feel your situation is too far gone, that God is no longer going to intervene? God remembered Noah. He sees the struggles that each person goes through. Whether that is an inward struggle that you have with temptation and sin. Read verse 1 again. "But God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and the livestock that were with him in the ark." You see, if God remembered the animals as well, how much more will he remember you? You know, Jesus used that argument, didn't he? He talked about the birds of the air, Matthew 6, 26, and said, "Of how much more value are you?" God cared for these animals. And there's a lot of emphasis on the animals in the account of the flood. If God remembered those animals, will he not remember you, his child? Here then is the first comfort we have. God remembered Noah. Secondly, Noah had to wait. Noah had to wait. You know, we want God to intervene and to do it quickly. I'm praying for something for a long time. You kind of wish that God would answer straight away like that. But so often that is not God's way. More often than not, he says to us, wait. Noah had to wait. His family had to wait. The animals had to wait week after week after week in this dark, increasingly smelly ark. It can't have been very pleasant in there. You know, this was not a cruise liner. This was just a big box covered in pitch with just the one window in it, apparently. Have you noticed in the account how careful it is to note the days? This is quite unusual. You know, you don't get this in many other accounts, but the days are mentioned. It's almost as if, you know, Noah was recording them so carefully because it took so long. 150 days before the water went down. And the details that we have, particularly, you know, with the sending out of the raven and then the dove, and the story just seems to drag on. Really bored, you're getting really anxious. Whatever your feeling might be when you're having to wait day after day after day. So 7 days later he sends out the dove. This time, the dove returns with an olive leaf, freshly plucked in its mouth. And here is the first sign of hope. Remember, they can't see, as the walls of the ark are covered in wood and pitch. And then there's this one fresh green leaf. There's hope. Things are growing again. Things are growing. Noah waits yet another week, 7 days, and for the third time he releases the dove. And this time the dove does not return. At last, Noah is able to remove the covering from the ark, and he sees that the ground is completely dry. You know, right through the Bible, believers are called to wait, to be patient, to endure. This message does not sit comfortably with a triumphalist approach that expects only blessing from God, and that right away. God does promise many things to those who believe. He promises forgiveness. He promises peace. He promises wisdom to those who ask him. But a trouble-free life is not something that he has promised. In this world you will have trouble, he says in John 16, verse 33. Although, interestingly, before that, our Lord says, I've told you these things so that you may have peace. There'll be trouble out there, but you can have peace in here. Christians suffer. There's that interesting picture in Revelation 6 and verse 10, as the seals are opened, and the fifth seal is opened, and we see that the souls of those who've been martyred under the altar. And they're crying out, Lord, how long? And they're told to wait. They're told to wait. Do you need to wait today? Noah had to wait. 150 days he had to wait. And sometimes when you have to wait, it means you appreciate far more the deliverance, the blessing that God gives, so they can multiply on the earth and be fruitful and increase in number on it. You see, the flood had fully subsided. The ground was completely dry. The waiting was over. Can you imagine? That they lift the covering from the ark, and for the first time they can see what it looks like. It must have been very different. Well, for starters, that they've presumably been driven along by the wind and have landed in quite a different place from where they set out. They wouldn't have recognized it. And even the place where they built the ark would have looked different after all the flood had completely changed the landscape. But remember, the vegetation is starting to grow. You know, if olive trees are starting to sprout again, the grass and the seeds that would still have been there. And Noah steps out into this new world. How quiet it would have been. No other land creatures except those in the ark. How peaceful. The violence and the corruption from before the flood had been completely wiped away. It was like a new world. The account actually has many parallels with Genesis 1, the creation of the world. It's as if it's saying that this is the recreation of the earth. So at the beginning of Genesis 1, you have the Spirit over the waters. It's the same word for wind. And here with the in Genesis 8, you have the wind blowing over the earth, over the water rather. And then the dry ground appears, both in Genesis 1 and here. And vegetation. Then comes the olive leaf. The animals, each after their kind, are told to be fruitful and to multiply, to fill the earth. There's even an indication of Sabbath rest in this account. Remember, Genesis 1 finishes with beginning of chapter 2, how God rested on the seventh day. Well, here in Genesis 8, we have this seven-day cycle. Noah waits 7 days, then sends out the dove and waits another 7 days. And the thinking, commentators talk of, it seems that Noah observed the Sabbath. He certainly had this seven-day week. So all these parallels with the creation account. I think we can also see a picture of the new creation. So this account kind of looks back to creation, but also looks forward to the new creation. That's why I read from 2 Peter chapter 3. When God will make all things new. Peter draws this analogy. Let me read to you again, 2 Peter 3. And verses 6 and 7. By these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. So there's clear parallel. Just as the earth was destroyed by the flood, so one day the earth is going to be destroyed by fire on the day of judgment. And then end of verse 12. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. The earth in Noah's day was destroyed by a flood, but then was renewed. The earth, we know, will be destroyed by fire on the great day of the Lord. But then, new earth will be made. And some think, quite possibly, that it'll be the same globe, just completely renewed. But can't go into all the details of that discussion. What we can see, I think, are parallels with the new world of Noah's day and the new earth to come. Just as Noah observed the Sabbath, so that the new world that we enter is God's rest. We enter into God's rest, our eternal Sabbath. Just as Noah entered into a new world where there was righteousness, ungodly had been wiped off the earth, so it will be righteousness dwelling in the new earth. What about the animals? You know, I'm quite often asked, and not every day, but quite often, especially children like to ask me this question, will there be animals in heaven? It's not just children who ask that. You ever asked that question? You probably have. Do you want to keep it open for a bit of air, Philip? Will there be animals in heaven? You know, I think we can make a stronger case for there to be animals in heaven than we can for saying there won't be animals in heaven. We can't be categorical because I don't think it says absolutely, but if there are all these parallels between, you know, the new earth with Noah and the new earth to come, who can say? I love, though, the tenderness that we have on Noah's part towards the animals. Did you notice? Verse 9, when the dove returns, it says, so Noah it returned to Noah in the ark. He reached out his hand and took the dove and brought it back to himself in the ark. It's a very tender picture, isn't it? You know, Noah cared for these animals. And that's a God-given gift. Anyway, enough about the animals. What we can say for certain is that when God rescues from death, it is into life. You see, as Christians, we are not just saved from sin and death, but we are made righteous and we are given life. We're not just saved from hell, but we're saved for heaven. We're not just rescued from the punishment for our sin, but we will receive the reward for Christ's righteousness. This is the glory of our salvation. It's not just a rescue from, it's an entering into. And I think we have to be careful as Christians that we don't just emphasize the rescuing from and forget about the glory to come. We will receive the reward of Christ's righteousness. Our souls will be with Jesus. But our bodies have to wait. Until that day when the Son of God will call them out. A bit like at the tomb of Lazarus, when Jesus stands by that tomb and says, "Lazarus, come out." And his body is raised. When Christ returns, the dead in Christ will be raised. This is our glorious hope. I don't know about you, but when I see a graveyard, I think, well, you know, those who are the Lord's here, one day their bodies are going to be raised. I don't know how. I don't need to know how, but I know they will be raised. Just as God remembered Noah in the ark, so God will not forget those who have died in Christ. Their souls are already with him, absent from the body, present with the Lord. But one day their bodies will be raised. This is the glorious hope that we have as Christians. Whether life is good for you today, or whether it is tough, let this hope fill your heart and mind. And if it does encourage us, Titus 1 verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God who cannot lie promised before the earth began. It motivates us. Peter again, 2 Peter 3 verse 12, live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God. You see, just as Noah stepped out of that ark into this new world, so one day, if you belong to Jesus Christ, you will step out into a glorious new world in which righteousness dwells. A world that will never be spoiled. A world where you will be with the Lord Jesus Christ. That is our hope. We're not just saved from death, but we're saved to life. Spend some time thinking about that and glorying in it, because that is a great motive and a great help as we live for the Lord. Let's pray.